We're in Chobham with Geoffrey Vero, who is the president of the Surrey Heath Conservative Association, and Robin Horsley, who is a Conservative political activist, both local men. This has all come about over this interview over the gay marriage issue, which has gone completely viral across the internet. You know, it was picked up by the Daily Mail, it was picked up by the Pink News, which is Europe's leading gay publication. And yeah, it's just gone crazy. Now, just so that you both are aware, what I did yesterday was put out on social media that we were going to be doing this. And obviously, because the Residents Network is very much from the residents' perspective, I was hoping that any questions that we ask or, you know, whatever it is that we talk about is steered by residents and the comments that they've made either on the Residents Network or on social media. Now, what I'd like to do first of all, now, Geoffrey, it's no secret, you're very much against the proposals for gay marriage. And I'd like you just to introduce why that is and where you're coming from.
You sound very much against. That's actually not correct. I originally put my head above the parapet when I appeared on BBC Newsnight with Jeremy Paxman just before Christmas. And the point I was trying to put across then, and in fact I've been involved with many interviews today up in Westminster, is that this issue of redefining marriage is actually really quite a complex issue, and we do not think that it should be rushed. We live in a democracy, and everybody's entitled to their own views on this, and following proper democratic process, if government decides, or the electorate decides, that it's right and proper, well, that gay marriage should become legislation, then so be it. The view I have, as a rather older person, I'm age 66, I've been married for 38 years, I've got children who are married and with grandchildren. We have a slightly different perspective to some of the younger generation who feel that this is purely an issue of equality, and everybody feels that everybody should have an equal opportunity, and no problem with that whatsoever. However, marriage traditionally, and ever since time immemorial, has been an issue and has been defined as a man and a woman who get together, get married, and it's always been considered primarily, according to most religions, for the purpose of the procreation, if you are lucky, and therefore the bringing up of children. And that has been accepted as the as wisdom over a period of time. Now, more recently, marriage, with the introduction of civil partnerships, I think every Conservative and everybody in the country feels very, very comfortable with that. But we do believe that actually a marriage is between a man and a woman, and we believe that civil partnerships give all the rights to gay and lesbian individuals who have a loving relationship and wish to commit themselves to life and therefore get all the protections from the government, similar to if you're married. But it's still perceived, and the church perceives, that marriage is between a man and a woman. And therefore, for older people, and certainly for myself, this is a core belief. I remember when we were getting married, and I went along to see the vicar here in Chobham, and he made the point very clearly that he considered the purpose of marriage was to bring up children, and he expected us to get on with it. Now, that just happens to be a core belief of mine. Now, other people view the matter differently, and we're all entitled to our own views.
Thank you. Now, Robin.
Yes.
Perhaps you could. You're very much in favour of this idea of gay marriage, and support Michael Gove's stance on the matter. Perhaps you could explain why you're in favour and where you're coming from on the issue.
Sure. No, I do support Michael Gove, our constituency MP's position on it, and I think it is a fair reflection in general of the electorate's view on it. I do, however, understand the nature of many of the objections that have been put up by Geoffrey and other people. And I think, I guess what we're trying to fine slice here is the difference between what is prejudice and what sort of respect we need to have for the long-standing and long-held views. And we just need to come to a conclusion which is fair. I think the words that I know that Geoffrey finds awkward or uncomfortable. I don't want to put words into your mouth, Geoffrey. I think what I'm saying is that I know you understand that you feel that when we use words such as prejudice or discrimination, you find that difficult. But I also know, and I've spent quite a lot of time over the last couple of days looking at all of the, not all of the, but a large number of the gay, pro-gay marriage websites, the Coalition for Equal Marriage website, and also what's confusingly called the Coalition for Marriage website. Well, of course, it's not the Coalition for Marriage website, it's the Coalition for Marriage, but not for Gay People website, and it's their campaign. And that's the difficulty. That's where we have the difficulty, and clearly it's a controversial issue. I come down very firmly on the side of being pro-equality, and that's why I support that measure.
Okay. If you don't mind, I'm going to ask Robin a question here.
Hmm.
So, for those who believe in the definition and practice of marriage, as it stood for centuries,
yeah,
sell this idea to those people.
Okay, well, before I do that, let me just make a distinction here. The vote on Tuesday is not to impose anything on the church. The vote on Tuesday is what some people have described, some people on Geoffrey's side of the argument have quite rightly in some ways, in many ways, described as being a fairly small step, yet a step in the, as far as they're concerned, the wrong direction. So we already have civil marriages.
Civil partnerships.
Yeah, I think that's rather the point.
Thanks for helping him.
It's a very easy slip up, and yes, most people think that civil partnership and civil marriage is the same thing.
Sure, absolutely. Sure. They very much do. And I think that's really the core of what we're talking about here is that a step too far? But let's be clear, it's not actually about the churches. There are possibly other battles that may or may not be fought in the future over whether or not churches should embrace the idea of gay marriage.
Right. I mean, it is a really difficult subject to discuss with some people. I mean, yesterday I was on the Heather side, and I spoke to a resident there, an elderly resident, who, you know, goes to church every Sunday, and she just cannot get her head around this at all. You know, she's really against it. She can't actually articulate why she's against it. You know, it's really difficult for her to do that. But she is, and I got to tell you, I really felt sorry for her, because, you know, she was just so upset about this whole issue that's just come crumbling down on her very, very quickly.
I think if I can interject at this stage, when I exchanged some correspondence with Michael Gove back in March last year, I said to him, Michael, be very careful on this issue, because what you're doing is you're scratching people's core beliefs. And progressively the older you get, the more those core beliefs, as you get closer to the end of your life, become rather more important to you than when you're in your 20s, you think you're immortal and you're going to live forever. For older people, this is a core belief issue. It's imprinted into virtually their soul. And therefore, I have great sympathy with this lady who expresses those views. And they are very similar to many of the people of my generation, because I think I'm age 66. And you predominantly mix with people 15, 20 years, both sides of you. And for older people, this is a core belief issue, and it is very, very upsetting that David Cameron and Michael Gove, who are surrounded in number 10 by very young advisers, and we believe that they have actually lost touch with the older generation up and down the country. This is a core belief issue. We believe that they should take this issue very much more slowly, actually listen to the arguments of this dear lady, give some cognizance to those views, and lay the ground and debate the issue. It's being rushed. And the main reason why I, together with 22 other conservative activists, signed a letter today in the Telegraph, was that we felt that this matter should be debated and discussed very much more longer, and given more time. And then in the fullness of time, if the vote goes one way or go the other, so be it. But Cameron is rushing this. He didn't put it in his manifesto. We don't believe he has a mandate. He didn't have the courage to put it in the Queen's speech just very recently, and suddenly he's presenting it. Virtue is a fait accompli. He knows with the support of Labour and the Lib Dems, but not his own people, he will carry it in the House of Commons. I think he's going to have very much greater difficulty in the House of Lords. My view, and the view of many other people of my generation, feels that this matter should be taken more slowly. This is not an anti-gay issue. This is an issue of anthropology. It's an issue taking... We don't believe that within a whim of time one should overturn what has been perceived wisdom, whether that's been right or wrong, and therefore take it very much more slowly.
Would you like to come back on that, Robert?
Yeah, sure. As you said on Newsnight, Geoffrey, it's an institution that's run for 5,000 years, and I think the counter to that argument is to say, well, perhaps after 5,000 years, we should finally equalise marriage. I think that's the counter to that argument. I mean, I gather actually the ancient Greeks had arrangements for same-sex marriage, in fact. So I think the argument that this is something that's sort of come out of the blue, certainly in terms of David Cameron's position on this, look, David Cameron had made very clear his position long before the general election. So I think it's generational. I think there is certainly... I mean, I'll just remind us of one fact, if I may, which is that I was born in 1969, so I'm 43 years old. And David Cameron was born in 1967. So just after David Cameron was born, and just before I was born, homosexuality was decriminalised. Before then, it was a criminal offence to be homosexual. Take one example, Alan Turing, who was the father of modern computer science, and was an absolute genius. Unfortunately, he had a great problem that he was homosexual. And in 1952, he was convicted and he was given what was called chemical castration. This is a particularly vicious and vile instrument of the British state in 1952. He was forced to take chemicals to chemically castrate himself. This is a man who was probably one of the greatest intellectual assets that we had in this nation at that point. Yet we as a nation forced him to do that. And he therefore took his own life in 1954. That's tragic. And I can see therefore why people who you were born into a position whereby this was... I'm not just simply talking about the church here. I think it's a wider problem. Your beliefs were grounded in a time when homosexuality was actually illegal.
Right. Geoffrey.
This argument of equality and homosexuality, I'd like to just examine a little bit, if I may. One's core religious belief about marriage has nothing to do with the homosexual. I think this country is very much more liberal than it was. I think all of us have got friends who have got gays. I've got a cousin who's gay. You know, that's just not an issue or problem. And I think it was very tragic what happened to that to that individual back in 1952. And we know we've had great individuals within British history, you know, who have been homosexual, who've made a wonderful contribution to this country. And one of the concerns I have in this debate is that anybody who is cautioning going immediately towards redefining marriage can potentially be considered to be homophobic and being prejudiced. And that's why we had an interesting exchange of email, I think, Robin, earlier on that. Because I am very keen that this should be an open debate, and I think everybody's entitled to their own opinions. The new Equality Act in 2010 seems to be, in some respects, the 53rd card in the pack, and it seems to be slightly the joker. It doesn't matter what cards you hold, but equality trumps absolutely everything. And in fact, this act, it's not going to be totally satisfactory, I don't think, to the gay community, because for whatever reason, the government did a complete volte-face about whether the Church of England was or was not going to be able to carry it out. The original consultation which the government carried out, which was not for whether this is a good idea, but how do we introduce it? And they stated categorically at the time it would not be introduced into churches, But it became what came out of the consultation was that the gay community was very keen that they should be permitted to have marriage within church. Mm-hmm. But the government had said, no, you can't have marriage within the Church of England. But if the Jewish people want to do it, or the or any other form of religion, or even the Roman Catholics, they can do it. So it's a real this act is a real mismatch. It's been very. I don't know whether you've read the bill, Robin, but it's terribly difficult to draft, because you have a situation whereby in heterosexual marriage, you can have divorce for non-consummation and for adultery, but within same-sex marriage, those two definitions of divorce cannot be introduced into the legislation. So it's desperately difficult to draft this. And the argument of people like myself and others is that actually, let's take this a little bit more slowly, let's be a bit more careful about it, let's try and accommodate as much aspects as possible, but actually, it's quite difficult. It's impossible to write equality into same-sex marriage as heterosexual marriage, because there is a difference between when a man gets married to a woman, they are a union which can create children, but actually, a homosexual marriage cannot actually, between the two of them,
I'm glad you brought that point up, because this morning, just after you appeared on Sky News, I don't know if you've heard the interview with the gay couple, Tony and Barry Duke-Parley.
No, I didn't hear, but I heard that it was afterwards.
Yes. Yeah, straight after you. And one of the things they said, that point you just made there, is quite offensive to married couples, heterosexual married couples, who can't have children. Mm. Okay.
Yes, I have always
made the point. Where do they fit in here?
Well, I happen to have my sister-in-law and her husband live here in Chobham. They regretfully weren't able to have children. And do you know what? Because she was aged 32, she wasn't allowed to adopt any children because she was considered to be too old, and the local authorities didn't allow her. And I think that was tragic. Do you know what her role is now? She's secretary to David Cameron, and doing a wonderful job for him. But, you know, they couldn't have children. They would have loved to have children. And what I say about marriage is that one hopes, by God, or whoever you believe in, that you are going to be able to create children. But it doesn't happen to everybody, regretfully.
It's interesting. Maybe you're sitting...
And I don't mean to offend anybody, but sometimes life throws up disappointments to other people. Yeah. We were very blessed to have children. Other people haven't been so blessed.
Okay. Going back to the interview we did on Monday with yourself, Lavinia, and the Reverend Bruce Nicol. Now, if we take social media and the chatter on Twitter as any kind of gauge here, I think that Geoffrey here is entitled to his opinion, without being called prejudice. This is a very, very sensitive issue, and I think that to actually, as far as Lavinia was concerned, I think that people, when they talk about the interview, they only talk about prejudice, bigotry, homophobia, when they're referring to Lavinia. Not one person in the hundreds of comments, thousands of comments that I've read on the internet have suggested that Geoffrey or the Reverend Bruce Nicol is homophobic in any way, shape or form. In fact, they're hardly ever mentioned. So I've got to say that I think that while I can see there are cases where homophobia might come into it, I don't think with Geoffrey's argument, I don't think that's the case.
Okay, can I just give you the
definition? I don't think Robin was making the point generally, not specifically to me. I'm sorry.
No, that's right. But
let's, we do need to be able to have this conversation without that.
Well, it's very dangerous, you know. When I said to somebody when I was going on Paxman, Geoffrey, I can't believe you're going to talk about sex, politics and religion all in public. You know, how foolish can you be? These are very sensitive issues, and it's very easy for people to get very, very upset.
That's
because
right.
It gets very close to their core beliefs on everything. And different people, as you know, Robin, have slightly different core beliefs.
Well, can I...
But I think David Cameron does view this as very much being a civil liberties, civil rights issue. I think from our generation, we think actually it's broader than that. And
okay, I'm going to let you come in just a second, Robin. I said in our interview the other day about an evolution. Is this not an evolution? Are we not moving towards, you know, better respect and understanding for people in our community?
I think we are. But
and we gave the vote to the suffragettes that many years ago because it was the right thing to do. Do we not want to give our members of our community something that they want? Why should we deny people the the right to do what they want, so long as it's not criminal or it's not doing anybody any harm? What's the problem with that?
I don't totally know what the consequences of this. It may well lead to the disestablishment of the Church of England, because I think if the Church isn't allowed to do it, I don't believe the gay community will stop until they do get that right. And I can see that that's going to bring us. I can see we can get stages where the Roman Catholic Church, because of their strong beliefs in this, teachers are required under the Education Act to teach children about marriage and the implications of marriage. And obviously, if same-sex marriage comes in, they'll be required to teach that as well. Now, some teachers may well find, from a point of conscience, that they have some difficulty with that. And the concern is that although Michael Gove talks about no teacher will be required to promote same-sex marriage, that there is a risk that certain schools, if they have a teacher who is opposed on the basis of conscience on this issue, there is a risk potentially they may lose their jobs or fall out with their headmaster or headmistress on the issue. And that is a concern.
Okay, Robin.
I'd be quite happy for my children to be taught in school and to be taught about same-sex marriage, and for a teacher, if they have particular religious views that are incompatible with that, to explain that to the children, because that is the reality of life that they are trying to teach them about. Because if at that snapshot in time, that is the situation, is that we, for example, have gay marriage recognised legally, but we don't have churches, perhaps any churches, accepting it, that the teacher can explain that. I hope that would resolve the problem. I don't for a moment suggest there won't be complications of this, and I'm sure there will be.
I'm not sure where I read it, one of the publications, it might have been the Telegraph, that Michael Gove has expressly said that their teachers will not fall foul of this.
Of course there are going to be complications. Absolutely, that's going to be the case. It would be unrealistic to expect that there wouldn't be complications. But do we let complications get in the way of the overriding principle of equality here? We just keep coming back to that issue, don't we?
Well, equality, could a father and a son get married? Could two brothers get married? Where does equality finish on this issue? I don't believe that in this current Parliament the politicians have a mandate for this. This was in no manifesto, this was in no mandate, this was in no Queen's speech. So therefore I don't believe the politicians do have a proper democratic mandate at this stage. And the purpose of the reason why we delivered this letter today was that we would like to see more democratic legitimacy to be given to this issue than we believe it has at the moment. And therefore, if it were to come forward as a vote in the next Parliament, or if it were to go to a referendum, then I think a lot more people would feel it had more democratic legitimacy than perhaps it may have today. A lot of Conservative MPs who have their own conscience, who have their own views on this matter, many of them have been quite upset by receiving a lot of emails from people who are very pro the change in the definition, that they're all considered to be prejudiced and bigoted. And that is the most disappointing aspect I've found of this whole debate, regretfully, is that those people who I believe should be entitled to their own views, if they don't happen to agree with the view other people want, they're accused of being prejudiced.
Okay,
and that's upsetting.
On the other side of that argument, Geoffrey, and I see your point there, and it's something actually I support. I think that people should be allowed to express a view without being made to feel or accused of being prejudiced or bigoted. But on the other side of the coin, during my interview with Lavinia the other day, on Monday, she said he would be deselected from the local Conservative Association. That's, and now Lavinia said that she's not threatening that, but it's pretty obvious that's what she was threatening. You know, what would you say to that? Because I personally, as a local Conservative, find that quite a vile suggestion, to be honest with you.
Well, I wouldn't use the word vile. Everybody's entitled to
the reason why. The reason why I think it's vile is because this is supposed to be a free vote, and our MP. One of the things I love about Michael Gove is that he's not. And I don't agree with everything that he says, but one of the things I love about him is that he does express an opinion, and there's a lot of MPs that won't.
I agree with you. I have been asked this question a lot today by a lot of journalists, and I have been absolutely categorically clear that whilst we're on my watch, if I have any influence whatsoever in the association, there is absolutely no way that any consideration would possibly be given to deselecting Michael Gove. I've agreed to disagree with him on this issue. We happen to philosophically have differences on the issue. But Michael is completely entitled to his opinion on the matter, as I believe I'm entitled to mine. And therefore, to even give any consideration to deselect one of the most outstanding parliamentarians of the decade, who is doing a fantastic job as Secretary of State for Education, I would find anathema to me. So therefore, it certainly has absolutely zero support from me to even consider it. But other people may suggest that, but as far as I'm concerned, it's a complete non-issue.
And as you say, you know, he's doing great work as a Secretary of State for Education. More locally, I think he's doing a brilliant job as an MP. Particularly when you consider that, you know, what a busy fella he is. He's more in touch with local issues than some of our councillors are. So, I'm glad you clarified that point, Geoffrey.
Well, it's a very important point, because it's a point that a number of journalists wanted to clarify with me.
Excellent.
Can I ask Geoffrey a question?
Sure.
What's your view? I mean, I don't know if you've seen what the Times were leading with last night on their website. And the headline reads, "Tories desert party in mass revolt over gay marriage." I don't know if you've... I mean, obviously, the headline is self-explanatory as to what the story is about. What's your view on that? Do you think that is going to be the case?
As I said on Newsnight to Jeremy Paxman, I think it's far too early to tell. Regretfully, a number of Conservatives, I think, will resign from the party, regretfully. A number of activists won't be so active, and regretfully, some people will sit on their hands and not go out to vote. How many that is going to be, I think this is damaging. I think David Cameron, for whatever reasons he's determined to do this, he believes maybe he'll pick up more votes from the middle ground and he can afford to lose a few oldies on the top. I think that's a very dangerous philosophy to approach. It's rather similar, perhaps, to the M&S philosophy. They thought they could get rid of all their core customers and replace them with a whole lot of new customers. I think you need to appeal to absolutely everybody. We need to appeal to the ethnic minorities. We need to appeal to absolutely everybody on this. But regretfully, it's a divisive issue, which I think he could have handled very much more carefully and more slowly. And if he had rolled the pitch, put his case out, say, this is an issue which I believe very strongly in. Everybody has no problem with that. However, and if I get re-elected, this is something that I will be wishing to lay before Parliament in the 2015 plus Parliament, then I think he would not have created so much upset within the party and created this divisiveness, which I think actually has not been necessarily beneficial to the gay community. It could have been handled very much more carefully.
Right. Can I make that? Yeah. You come back on that, and then we're going to wrap it up.
Yeah, sure.
Now, I think maybe there's an argument that there should have been a greater consultation, and I think the people that are calling for that are a small group in Conservative associations, of which Geoffrey's leading one of those small groups in Surrey Heath constituency. I think it's demonstrated the overwhelming support from the electorate so far, and okay, given some limitations, of course, is not the case. I think because, to an extent, for a lot of people, it's kind of a no-brainer, because the principle of equality is so seems to be so firm.